I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, one of my all-time favorite stories in the scripture. If you're using the Bible under the seat in front of you, page 250. Joshua chapter 6. Lord, we're so grateful to have your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for the victory that you have for us. Lord, that we are to walk in victory. Lord, whatever we might be facing, I pray, Lord, that you would bring deliverance, that we would be overcomers, that we would live a life that's pleasing to you in the power of your Spirit. Speak to us through your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going through Hebrews chapter 11 on Sunday mornings, and that chapter records Old Testament saints that are known for their faith, the champions of faith, and we've been reading and studying their stories, the stories of Noah and Abraham and Moses. Hebrews chapter 11 also mentions some amazing miracles of the Old Testament that were accomplished by faith. The crossing of the Red Sea, as we studied last week. And in verse 30 of Hebrews 11, it speaks of another famous miracle in the Old Testament. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So the battle of Jericho, the walls around Jericho, an incredible miracle and an incredible story. And the details are recorded here in Joshua chapter 6. So look at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6. It says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" So here Joshua is leading the nation of Israel, and God is leading them into the promised land. At last, Israel is going into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of victory, the land of blessing, the land of fruitfulness. That's what God has for them. But it's going to take a fight. It's going to take a battle because the promised land is filled with kingdoms and pagans and cities that need to be taken out, that need to be defeated. And the city of Jericho was target number one because of its strategic location, right in the heart of the promised land, right there in the center. And the strategy is come in, take out Jericho, divide the land, then do a northern campaign and a southern campaign. But folks, Jericho was the key. You had to take Jericho. Now, taking Jericho was going to be difficult. Ancient Jericho was not a large city. In fact, it only occupied about 9 to 10 acres. This church property is 6.5 acres. So it wasn't the biggest city, but it was a fortified city. It was surrounded by 35, 50-foot massive stone walls. And verse 1 tells us that Jericho is on high alert. They realize that the army of Israelis is coming. So they've shut the gates. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's going out. They have enough supplies inside to last them for several days, weeks, perhaps months. And the soldiers are walking around on the walls and they're ready to rain down spears and arrows. It's in lockdown. Jericho was impenetrable at that moment. And yet, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "I've given Jericho into your hand." I'm going to give it to you. Okay, now, the usual strategy for taking a fortified city was to siege the city, surround it and wait it out. Just surround the whole city with your army and wait for them to starve to death or die of thirst. But that could take weeks, months, perhaps even years, depending on how many supplies they had inside the city. Nobody was expecting that. Another strategy was to be really aggressive. Breach the wall. Bust open a hole in the wall. Use battering rams, moving towers, catapults, scaling ladders, siege engines. Bash through the wall. Send the soldiers in for bloody hand-to-hand combat. That's probably what the folks inside Jericho were expecting. That's probably what the Israelites were expecting to do. Joshua was probably preparing for that type of a strategy. We're going to bust through. That makes the most sense from a military standpoint. But folks, that wasn't God's plan. God had a completely different plan, a plan that nobody would have even dreamed of. God's plan, in verse 3, God speaking to Commander Joshua, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, and this you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you'll march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man, straight before him." What? "Commander Joshua, here are your orders for battle. For 6 consecutive days, you're going to send a procession to march around the city of Jericho. Armed soldiers go first, followed by 7 priests carrying the 7 ram's horns, followed by the Ark of the Covenant, followed by a rear guard. You get up early in the morning, you make a circuit, and you come back to base camp. And then on the 7th day, you're going to do the same thing, only you're going to go around the city 7 times. Then you're going to stop stations surrounding the city. They're going to blow a blast on the horns. And then I'm going to tell all of you to shout, and shout at the top of your lungs. And the wall's going to fall flat, and you're going to cruise right in there and take the city." I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Can you imagine a general bringing a plan like that to the troops? No catapults? No scaling ladders? We're going to take the city by marching around it? By blowing on our little trumpets? We're going to shout at the walls? It made no sense, and it was actually dangerous. It put the army in a place of vulnerability. What was to keep the soldiers from raining down spears and arrows upon them? And whoever heard of priests being the center of the activity at wartime? The priests were... They weren't supposed to be placed in any kind of danger. It made no sense. But gang, it was God's plan, and it was his perfect plan. In fact, you notice all the 7s in this story. 7 days. 7 priests, 7 trumpets, 7 circuits on day 7. 7 in the Bible is the number of completion and perfection. This was God's perfect plan to take Jericho. And to his credit, Joshua didn't argue. He didn't voice any kind of opposition. He believed God by faith. He believed in the plan of God by faith. and he implemented it. Verse 6 says, then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed, march around the city, let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced, blew the trumpets, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets. The rear guard came after the Ark. Verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shall. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into camp and lodged in the camp. Now, if you're in Jericho, what are you thinking? Day one, here comes the army. You're probably thinking, uh-oh, here it comes. They're going to attack. But they do their little march and they go back home. Verse 12, Joshua rose early in the morning and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually, blew with the trumpets. The armed men went before them. The rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumps. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. So 6 days of this. What do you think you're thinking in Jericho? Perhaps they started mocking the army. What are you going to do? March us to death? Going to hit us with your trumpet? And think about the faithfulness of the Israelis in this procession. You know, there's good indication that only Joshua knew the overall battle plan, and that these soldiers that are marching every day are being given their orders day by day. They don't know the full plan. So every day they're, all right, Lord, you march and you go back to camp. They had faith in God. They had faith in the planning of God on a day-by-day basis. Well, the seventh day comes. Verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I told you last week, I hope the Lord has a home video collection in heaven, because I want to see the crossing of the Red Sea, and I want to see this miracle. And actually, I want to hear it in heavenly Dolby surround sound. I want to hear the volume of that shout. And I want to hear the noise of those massive walls being knocked over by our great God. It was a fantastic miracle. It was a supernatural miracle. Now listen, God commanded them to do something that made no sense. They did it by faith, and the miracle of God took place. And now they have captured the heart of the promised land. Off they go to capture the entire promised land. The nation of Israel in the land of milk and honey. Fruitfulness, victory. And it started with this beautiful miracle at Jericho. Now, this is meant to be a very important picture for us as Christians. Please understand, the parallels between the way God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament and the way God deals with the church in the New Testament are clearly evident. The way God dealt with Israel is the same way that he deals with the church today. And we are meant as Christians to learn from that. So Israel was in bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh. They were redeemed out of Egypt, right? How? By the blood of a lamb. You remember that? Passover night, the lambs are slaughtered. The blood is applied to their door frames. They come out of Exodus through the blood of a lamb sacrifice for them. God takes them through the Red Sea, utterly destroying the enemies. God brought his people out of Egypt, redeemed them, and destroyed all their enemies. And God wanted to bring them into the promised land. God wants them to live in victory. God wants them to live in blessing. Israel in the promised land was to be known for their relationship with God. They were to be a light to all Gentile nations on earth. But there were cities to take out. There were Jerichos. There were many pieces of opposition to overthrow. And they had to take that land by faith. And much of that faith involved obeying commands that didn't even make sense. And yet they did. Church, listen, church. Before we were the church, we were slaves. We were in bondage to sin, to Satan, to this world. But as Christians, we've been redeemed. How? The blood of a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain on the cross for our sins, rose again. You place your faith and trust in him. You're saved. You're redeemed. And you know what? At that moment, you are moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God has defeated all your enemies. And God wants us as Christians to live in the promised land. Now, the promised land is not a picture of heaven. The promised land of the Old Testament is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Victorious Christian living. As a Christian, you're to live in victory. You're to live in blessing. You're to be fruitful. You're to become a light to all the Gentile nations, every nation. People are to see the hand of God upon your life. You are to walk in victory, but let me tell you, the land is littered with Jerichos and Canaanites and all kinds of opposition. The devil comes against us, the world tempts us. We still have sinful natures. And gang, it's real easy to get enslaved in sin. And that can take you out as a Christian. We're to conquer those things. We're to overthrow those things in our lives. And you know how we do it? Through obedience. If you want to live the victorious Christian life, it comes through obedience. Brother, sister in Christ, we're to obey the Lord in all things. There needs to come a time in our life where Jesus becomes more than our Savior. He becomes our Lord, our Master, the one who calls the shots. And we are to obey his commands no matter how strange they seem or how impossible they are or whether they go against conventional wisdom in secular society. Obeying the Lord in every area of your life brings blessing and it brings miracles. Gang, that plan didn't make any sense to take Jericho. But they obeyed it, and look what happened. The walls came down. God told Noah, a worldwide flood is coming, and I need you to build a really big boat in the backyard. Did that make sense? But he obeyed those commands, and his whole family was saved. God told Abraham, I want you to pack up everything, leave everything you know to destination unknown. Does that make any sense? No, but he did it. Moses, as we studied last week, I want you to deliberately lead your people into a trap before the Red Sea. Does that make any sense? No, but you obey that command, and it leads to a miracle. David, I want you to take out Goliath. David, I want you to wear some big armor. Did David wear big armor? No, you read the story, it didn't fit. He couldn't wear the armor. So he went after Goliath with a slingshot and five smooth stones from a riverbed. I've always loved the story of Gideon. Gideon was a judge of Israel. And he's going up against the Midianites. The Midianites had an army of 135,000 people. Gideon had an army of 32,000. They're outnumbered 4-1. And God says, Gideon, you have too many people. He says, all the ones that are afraid, send them home. They don't need to be a part of the fight. They can go home to mommy. You know how many people left? 22,000 men left. Now Gideon had an army of 10,000. Now he's outnumbered 14-1. God says to Gideon, you still have too many people. And he does that little test, remember at the spring, that those would cup the water or those that would drink. Guess how many men Gideon is left with? 300. Now he's outnumbered 450-1. And yet they obeyed those commands of the Lord, and God gave the Midianites into their hands. You obey the Lord even when it doesn't make sense. Jesus says to his disciples, we're going to feed 15,000 people with a few crackers and sardines. Obey the Lord. No matter what he says for you in every area of your life. And I will tell you, the Lord is still making commands, giving commands to his people today that don't make sense from a worldly perspective. Jesus says in Mark 10, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Listen, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Does that make any sense in the worldly scheme of things? But that's what God has commanded us to do. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hurt you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is that easy? Does that make sense? And yet God would say, obey that command, walk in victory. Paul tells us in Philippians 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Is that what the world does? Is that what the world teaches? Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Those are the commands of God, and if you obey them, you'll walk in victory. What about the Great Commission? He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Go into the whole world Be a light to the whole world. Share the gospel to every person. Is that easy? You know, the scripture says as Christians, we're to grow, we're to be men and women of this book, we're to study God's word, we're to be those that pray, those that fellowship together. And the world would look at that and say, that's so foolish. Oh, look, you're in a pinch and you're going to go to this book with words on it and you're going to pray to an invisible God? What's that all about? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's your staple as a Christian. We are men and women of prayer. We grab hold of those things. The moral commands. The scripture tells us all about marriage and dating and how to be a good Christian wife and Christian husband, parent, child. And all of that looks utterly foolish in the eyes of this world. And yet you want to walk in victory. Obey those commandments. There are times when the Lord leads us to make decisions that don't make sense from a financial perspective or a career perspective or even a relationship perspective. We know what we're supposed to do, but oh man, I don't know about that. And yet you are to obey the Lord. Even if that means taking a step out into a place where you're uncomfortable. And you know what? The Lord's going to come through. Living in the promised land requires obedience. And here's the other thing. Living in the promised land, walking in victory, requires obedience by faith and by dependence upon God. Hebrews 11 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. You know, I think one of the reasons why God gives such strange commands to his people, old and new, because it forces them to depend on him. And let's face it, all of the commands that I just read to you out of the scripture, and there are more, we can't do those in our own strength. It forces us to go to him and say, God, help me. Victory is not dependent upon human ingenuity or human planning or human strength or human cleverness. It's by dependence upon the Lord. It's by faith in him. Living in the promised land. You get to know those commandments, you seek to obey those commandments, and you depend upon God himself day by day for the power to live out those commandments. In Zechariah chapter 4, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know, you may be a Christian and there's some Jerichos that you are facing in your life. Maybe it's an addiction that you haven't been able to break. Well, let me ask you, have you really given that area to the Lord? Have you given that area to the Lord? Have you found out what the Bible says about that area? And then have you grabbed onto those promises and day by day claimed those? Walk in victory. Maybe it's a bad marriage issues, whatever that might be. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how you're to treat your wife and how you're to treat your husband. And you grab hold of those promises and you seek every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, use me. We have a world to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is still on the books, right? And we are to wake up, ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to make us a light, to use our lives. Victory is available. In fact, There's a great detail in this story. So back in verse 2, you remember God says to Joshua, I've given you the city. Past tense. God told them before they actually got the city, yep, it's yours. I've given it to you. All you got to do is take it. And it's interesting, as they're parading around the city, they're blowing on those ram's horns. Those were special horns that they only pulled out for times of celebration. When Israel went to war, they pulled out the silver trumpets. And they blasted that, and it's time to go to war. They didn't use those trumpets. They used the trumpets of celebration, celebrating the victory they already had. The victory that was won, that was given to them by God himself. And my brother and sister in Christ, I want you to know you are victorious in Christ Jesus. You are not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. Do you understand that? God has redeemed your life. He has given you his spirit. He's given you every resource you need. Take it. Walk in it. Live by faith. Obey what the Lord has said. I think there's another reason why God gives these commands that just seem so strange and bizarre. Because he wants the glory. God gets the glory. You know, had they used those battering rams, Joshua could have said, boy, we did a pretty good job there, didn't we? Broke through that wall. Do you see our strength? God said, there will be none of that. I will get the glory. God wants the glory in your life. My brother, my sister in Christ, God has redeemed you. He wants to turn you into a walking miracle, which puts his glory on display in every aspect of your life. And draws many people to him. Let's cooperate with him. Let's walk with him day by day. Would you bow your head with me? Some of you are facing Jerichos. Tough things. Issues. I want to pray for you. Lord, you see what's in our hearts. You know what you have for us. And I pray that we would have the guts and the courage to give you whatever that is that's holding us back. Lord, and I pray even though it might go against every fiber of our being, we want to do what's right by you. So we're going to humble ourselves and we're going to surrender and follow you. Lord, we're going to depend upon you. I pray, God, that you would increase our dependence upon you. Lord, break down those walls. Bust open those Jerichos. Overthrow those giants and obstacles in our lives. Help us to walk in victory the way you want us to. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet entered into the family of God. Perhaps you have not yet been redeemed out of the world. You need to become a child in the family of God before you can begin walking in that promised land. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Christ died for you. He spilled his blood. Dying for your sin, taking the punishment you deserved. And he rose again that third day. And if you'll place your faith and trust in him, he'll redeem you. He'll make you a child in his family. Now, the world would say that's all foolishness. Like the world says that everything about God is foolishness. So don't believe the world. Believe God. Open your heart to Christ right now. Invite him right now to take over. If that's you, cry this out. Lord Jesus, redeem me. Save my soul. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Make me a child in your family. Fill me with your spirit. Change my life and help me to walk in victory and make me a light to others. Amen.